Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. I want to thank you for taking time to tune into this Oasis podcast. We have been in the school of Ephesus, and we've already laid the foundation concerning the birth and the battle and the demise. We've talked about that. I think there's a lot more to talk about that here in the future. Right now, we're in the part of this study where we're looking at what I call apostolic teaching, meaning these are the teachings that we need to build on the inside of us in order to be strong Christians and to function in our rights and in our privileges of our location, being in Christ. And so, you know, we just finished an episode on our identification in Him. If you haven't heard it, you need to go back and listen to it, because we just kind of go slow and just look at Scripture and let Scripture speak to us. When Scripture speaks, faith comes. And faith is what changes the world that we live in. Now, we're gonna start today, and we're going to talk about prayer, because the book of, or the epistle to Ephesus, has a lot to say about prayer. And Paul was a man of prayer. So let me open in prayer. And Heavenly Father, I pray over this very special teaching today as we begin to press into prayer and the power of prayer. And so, Father, we thank you for an anointing. Help us to understand and to grow in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in the book of Galatians, I want you to listen to this. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. We're going to lay a little foundation, then we're going to jump over into the book of Ephesians. So, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. And so, here this letter to the church in Galatia, he's really confronting error in their thinking, meaning they had faith in Christ, Christ alone. But then they began to lean upon the traditions of men, and they began to open the door to these other things, and they began to place the weight of their salvation and their faith into these things. And so Paul, in this epistle, he goes really strong. I mean, he talks about even confronting Peter, Peter was affected by the religiosity of the church and the spiritual climax in Jerusalem. Now, let me tell you, Jerusalem is probably one of the most religious cities on the planet. And, you know, it's good to go and visit Jerusalem. I don't suggest staying there unless you know that God really wants you in Jerusalem, because it is a religious fest. It is a place where a lot of people get corrupted in their faith, in their religion, because they walk in not, you know, ready to deal with some of the stuff that's in operation there. And we're going to talk about that when we get to spiritual warfare here in one of these episodes. The church in Jerusalem, which was the power base for Christianity, was beginning to go off course. The numbers were growing, but they weren't keeping the doctrine pure and strong. Now, Paul was out there teaching because he was going for the Gentiles. And ultimately, that was the direction that Christianity was going to go. So that's why you see Paul's ministry front and center, spearheading this direction that the Jewish church was going to have to end up reshuffling their cards and coming back into that revelation. And so here's Peter, I mean, James over there in Jerusalem, they're being affected by the religious Jews who are coming to faith, but they're not accepting the purity of in Christ alone. And I tell you what, I just talked about having a meeting in France with a Christian or a Catholic priest. And he was talking about how, you know, the Word of God is he accepts it, but he also accepts the traditions of the Catholic Church equally. And the more I talked to him, I thought, you don't have faith concerning in Christ alone. Meaning, if I took you out of the Catholic Church and put you in a Baptist church, he would struggle that he would be even heading to heaven because his faith wasn't purely in Christ. It was in Christ in the Catholic Church. Outside the Catholic Church, he didn't have salvation. So therefore, you see this leaven that was already operating in this man. And so that was the same thing that was happening to this church in the Galatian church. And it was coming out of Jerusalem. And so here, Paul has to confront it, and he is coming strong. I mean, he is hitting it head on. And he says, listen, I am back interceding in travailing prayer like a woman who is giving birth to a baby. And this is where I am in prayer, praying that you would be brought back into faith in Christ, that Christ would be formed in you again. Now, I want you to think about this. This is important. In our last episode, we talked about identification, where we're located, where he's located. But what happened in this church in Galatia is that they began to lean into religion. They began to lean into Jewish tradition. And these doctrines began to come in and to pull that church apart. And Paul's like, guys, listen, in order to birth this church, I had to travail in prayer. And now I find myself having to travail in prayer again to bring you back into Christ. Now, let me tell you something. This was serious to Paul. This church was not just a Sunday gathering, listen to my sermon and go live how you want and hopefully put an offering and come back next week. These people were committed to Christ. They were Christians. And this was everything to them. And it was everything to Paul. And the church in the West doesn't really understand this model, primarily because this model is based on prayer. The model that we have in the West is based upon buildings and corporations, and those are important. I am not taking away from that. There's a place for it. But when you talk to pastors about why can't we have more prayer meetings, well, it doesn't fit the schedule. That's a problem. And so Paul is like, the only way I know to get this revelation back into you is through prayer, and a very deep prayer called travailing prayer, like a woman giving birth. Now, you don't do this on your own. This is a positioning in prayer and in urgency where the Holy Spirit begins to impart and come to your aid, and he begins to intercede through you with such travail. Now, let me just say this. These Christians in this church in Galatia, they just thought that they were taking on some nice doctrine. They had no idea that they were moving towards the death of that church. I want you to think about that. The Holy Spirit understood it. And the Holy Spirit in Paul was travailing through Paul in order to break this lying doctrinal hold that was coming into that church, in order to drive it out, in order to keep the foundation of that church strong. So you can hear in the strength of my voice on this that this is important. This episode is going to be a very, very important episode for you to listen to, for me to listen to, and to grow in. Now, in the book of John, chapter 16, we're talking about prayer. Jesus said this. He said in John, chapter 16, and verse 23, he said, "In that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Up to now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, you shall receive, and your joy may be full." Verse 26. "At that day you shall ask in my name. I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. So this is probably one of the most powerful scriptures on prayer, is that Jesus is saying, guys, you've depended on me. Now I want you to grow in your relationship with the Father that you can come directly to him. Now, we've done two episodes on God as our Father. The book of Ephesians begins with God as our Father, the first two verses, and the last two verses of this epistle to Ephesus. It's the same two verses as in chapter one, and it ends with the Father. It ends with love. It ends with grace and peace. So I want you to think about these truths, these nuggets, and I want you to realize that we are called to prayer. Now, let's now venture over into the book of Ephesians. And let's look at chapter 1 and verse 16. Now, this is not a prayer. What Paul is telling us is this is what he prays. So I want you to listen to it. So he's saying, listen, I pray for you, and I'm going to tell you what I pray. Because now when we know what he prays, hey, I can pray this. So let's look. He says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What kind of a man of prayer was Paul? He was a man of deep prayer, his dependency in prayer. In fact, when we looked at the birth of this church in Ephesus, Paul was not the fancy, nicely dressed, driving in a very nice car coming from the airport in his very nice jet, and everything just sparkling. He says, I was with you in fear and trembling. He says, I was with you in tears, and you saw my weakness. And what was it? His dependency on God. He went in there saying, I don't want your offerings. I'll work for myself. And he began to pray. He began to pray and to pray and to pray in order to birth this church in Ephesus. Now, in the first couple episodes, when we laid the foundation, we realized that from heaven's side, the Lord was establishing a candlestick and placing an angel over that region. That candlestick and that grace, that candlestick grace, and that angel are big stuff because it represents heaven's side of this operation on the earth. Of course, when you get over to Ephesians in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, he's already warning the church that he's going to remove this. And ultimately, the church in Ephesus doesn't exist. It's all Muslim now. So something happened, and the Lord removed the candlestick and that operation of that angel. And let me just tell you something more about angels. Angels are given as witnesses as well. They're messengers, and they'll come from the throne, and they'll be declaring out over a region what Jesus is saying to the believers in a region. Believers in a region in Florida battle different spirits than believers in a region like Los Angeles and Hollywood. There's different demonic operations and pressures. So there are graces that come from the throne of God, and these angels are there to release these graces through messages. And as churches are in prayer, waiting on the Lord, then they began to move into what heaven, by the anointing, through the ministry of these angels, is imparting, and these churches can begin to navigate through these cultures. And churches that do not pray do not operate strong in these graces. Sometimes it operates because a man is anointed and takes time to pray, but the church that doesn't corporately pray will be very weak. Or churches where only five people out of a congregation of 300 get together and pray. There's a certain grace. We thank God for it. But overall, that church is weak. It will be very weak. Coming just for Sunday morning, throwing some money in an offering, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be weak. So the purpose of these episodes are to sober you to Christianity and our calling. The Great Commission was not a suggestion. And the reason we're going through all this ultimately is to wear the crown of the Great Commission. We have to be strong in order to go to nations, to cross borders, to go with the gospel and to preach the gospel. Now, let's take a look at this. Boy, I tell you what, I've got so much bubbling in me. I'll probably listen to it and say, man, I jumped around so much, I didn't really make the point so well. In verse 16, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now, what he's doing is he is telling us what his praying is. And then when he hits this about resurrection power, he begins to give a little more revelation into this power and the operation of it. And we're going to talk about power in one of these episodes here. And so this is his prayer. He's pouring in. This is my prayer. Now, in the episode before this, we talked about identification. So Paul, as he's declaring identification, he says, listen, guys, you're going to have to become people of prayer. And I am praying this identification. I'm praying that the eyes of your heart would be open and that by faith, you're going to start to appropriate this identification. Don't you just love the Lord? I mean, he's like, this is the revelation, but you're going to have to appropriate this in prayer. And so very, very powerful. Now, let's go over to Ephesians chapter 3. Here's another prayer in chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here's a man of prayer again, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him who's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now, this is another prayer. I mean, this is amazing. This is a guy's prayer life. And the Holy Spirit is like, hey, Paul, why don't we put in here your prayer life? And Paul isn't like, oh, dear Jesus, please bless and make them feel good. No, when you look at how this man is coming with such strength of revelation. Now, remember, that's why the enemy was fighting him. He was living in this revelation and he was teaching the revelation. Why? Because he was going into all the world to preach the good news, the gospel. And that gospel had the power to change a Jew and a Gentile and to break the wall of partition through the flesh of Christ, and to bring us into one new man. So here Paul is saying, listen, I'm praying that the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And so he's already tying us into Father. Remember, we just did two episodes on that. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Why do we need to be strong in our spirits? Well, that Christ would dwell in our hearts by faith. Now just pause. This is his prayer life. But what is he doing? He's going back into the identification. But what he's saying is this, in order to walk in this identification with Christ, you're going to have to be strengthened with this supernatural, glory-filled strength in your spirit. Because God, when he looks at you in faith, he already sees you perfect. He already sees you in Christ. And you and I, we're like, oh, I woke up, I didn't feel good, my hair was messed up. I don't feel like I'm in Christ. Well, that's because you're looking and you're sensing and you're feeling versus walking in the realm of faith where God is and where this revelation is. And so Paul is like, listen, you're going to have to get strengthened in order for Christ to feel at home in you. Now, what this is simply means is this. When I would go home to see my mom, my dad, I would walk into the house. I would sit on the couch. I'd go to the refrigerator. I felt at home. There was no restrictions in that house to me. But if I go to your house, I'll knock on the door. I'll wait there till you invite me in. Then I'll just stand in the front room, maybe sit down very stiff, and not feel at home. And you'll say, please make yourself at home, and I'll smile, but I won't feel at home. Why? There's a difference. And the goal of this relationship with Christ is for him to settle down and feel completely at home in us. Now, I got a question for you. Does Christ feel at home in you? Or are there areas of your life that are not crucified yet? That though you've accepted Christ, you're still living outside of Christ in these areas. And you just repent and you crucify these areas and you live in this identification in love, loving Jesus, thanking him for what he's done in your life and in my life. Now, in this faith, he also says that you would be rooted and grounded in love, that you may be strong to take hold of. Now, the King James says comprehend, but in the Greek, it literally means strengthened to grasp. That means you've got to be strengthened, not only for Christ to live in you by faith, but in order to walk in this love walk. Love is not a gushy feeling. It's the most, it is the most powerful force on the planet because God is love. So you can't approach this in your feelings. You have to approach this in the Word of God by revelation that you are in love and that love is working in you. And knowing this love, it passes knowledge that what? That we might be filled with all the fullness of God. When we walk in love, we walk in a fullness. Now, I grew up in the church. I have been in some very powerful meetings where after the meeting, the people ministering, they didn't walk in love. And they were very hard to deal with. And you thought, what happened here? And I remember I was in a certain nation and I went to a church service and I really enjoyed the man ministering. Now, I didn't speak the language, but I knew the anointing. And I thought, there's an anointing here. And but afterwards, I went down to meet him just to say hi. And I didn't realize he had a problem with Americans. I found that out later. And when I went up and began to talk to him, he went into his culture. He walked out of the anointing he had been functioning in. And now he's not walking in love at all. He didn't even see that he changed like that, and he put up a major wall to me and wasn't even kind to me. And I just walked out saying, that was the oddest thing. I don't speak the language, but when he was preaching in his language, I sensed the anointing. It was wonderful. But when I went up and spoke to him in English, that was not wonderful. And it's just interesting. So you can function in a certain level of grace and anointing, but not walk in love. And that's a warning to all of us. And if you continue to do so, things will break. But when you choose to walk in love and pray in love, there's just a natural operation of God that makes things easier for you than if you're, I'm anointed and I'm going to do it and I'm going to strive and I'm going to blow people's lives up around me. And I've seen it. I've seen some really wonderfully men, anointed men that outside of preaching, they destroyed a lot of lives because they didn't walk in love. And after a while, things break. Things aren't held together. And but God, you know, God's not going to take his gifts away. And he's not going to take his anointings away. But things get harder when you choose not to be strengthened to walk in love. It is everything to the Lord. And I remember years ago, I was sitting on my couch in England. I just wanted to go back home. I wanted to get out of England, and because I thought, you know, I'm not very busy. I just feel like I'm not doing anything. And I didn't realize I was birthing something. And, you know, you're fat and you're pregnant and you can't do a lot and you feel like a failure. And but we were birthing a ministry. And I remember the Lord just came in and he spoke to me. He said, if you never do anything for me again, would it be enough to just love me? And it just broke. All of a sudden, I realized the heart of the Lord is one-on-one relationship with you. He wants it quiet. He wants to talk to you. He wants you to talk to him. And in that communion, there's prayer. And in that prayer, we learn to pray from our identification. We learn to walk in him. Well, that's enough for this episode. Listen, I believe there's an anointing imparted. I believe you're receiving something right now. And I want you to go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. There's more information there. And I want you to know Eric and Beth love you. And Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready for him. Until next time, God bless you. Bye-bye.